building bridges, fostering engagement between medical directors and facility staff to create optimal outcomes, part one, a conversation with Dr. Jean Storm. This webinar included a visual PowerPoint presentation. To view a video recording, visit the link in the description of this podcast.
Good afternoon and welcome to our series of webinars focused on bringing you information about COVID-19 related topics. The information in these weekly webinars is geared toward long-term care and skilled nursing facilities, but we encourage everyone who's interested to attend. My name is Kathy Caudill. I'm a communications specialist with Quality Insights. Today's webinar is Building Bridges, Fostering Engagement Between Medical Directors and Facility Staff to Create Optimal Outcomes. This is part one of a two-part discussion. So if you'd like to see part two, we invite you to join us again here next Wednesday at 2 p.m. And now I'd like to introduce our speaker today, Dr. Jean Storm. Dr. Storm is medical director here at Quality Insights. She has a background in nursing home care, internal medicine, and healthcare leadership. Most recently, she served as associate medical director for Optum United Healthcare. She has also served as regional medical director for 38 long-term care facilities in West Virginia. She earned her DO from Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine and completed her postgraduate training at Mill Creek Community Hospital in Erie, Pennsylvania. Dr. Storm, welcome and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Kathy. And today we're going to be talking about a subject that is near and dear to my heart. And I didn't realize how important it is. I didn't realize how important it was to the care of residents in our facilities until I really got involved in doing the work. And now I actually help teach the work. I am a certified medical director, meaning I did some training, which is just focused on teaching medical directors of long-term care facilities, nursing homes, how to do their job in the best way possible. We talk about regulations. We talk about how to handle staff interpersonal issues, how to handle other providers, physicians in the facility. So this work is so important, and I feel that it is really not focused on enough. And so what I'm going to do today is hopefully give you some tips in order to best engage your medical director so you can have optimal outcomes in your facilities. So we're going to be talking about the tools and knowledge needed to leverage the medical director's role. Many individuals don't really understand what the medical director's role is. They know what physicians should do in their nursing facilities, but they really don't understand, I think, what the medical director is supposed to be doing. And if we can really leverage the medical director's role, we can enhance patient outcomes. And then we're also going to talk about the responsibilities, the roles of the medical director beyond just clinical care of taking care of patients and how that they can provide input for policy development, staff education, and quality improvement initiatives. We're going to be talking about QAPI, which is another love of mine, in the second part of this module. So that's what these objectives kind of talk about, is QAPI activities. And we're going to be talking about QAPI more in depth in the next module. And I'm going to be giving you some examples of QAPI activities that you can engage your medical director in. And then we're going to be, again, talking about those successful models and real life case examples in the next module. So just to talk about my background, I came into long-term care medicine as it's a bit of an accident. I was working in an office at the time, and I'm going to admit, I was feeling a little bored. I felt like I was sitting in a box all day. I really wanted to make a difference, and I felt that maybe I wasn't in the right spot for me. And I got a cold call from a recruiter asking me if I wanted to, on the side, work in a long-term care facility in a nursing home. And I said, sure, I'll try it out and see how it goes. And I walked in to a long-term care facility and I met this individual who's standing with me in these two pictures. And this is Jim. Jim was and it continues to be a nursing home administrator in the first long-term care facility where I became medical director. And he greeted me at the door and he understood the role of the medical director. And he helped explain this to me and show me the best way that I could help the facility achieve optimal outcomes, how I could achieve resident optimal outcomes, because Jim really understood the role of the medical director in all things involving the facility. So that picture with me wearing that hat is very early on in my journey as a medical director. That was a hat that Jim actually gave me as a gift. And then the picture on the right is my last day in this facility as I moved out of state. And that was a sign that I had on my door as a medical director. And Jim actually framed that sign and it hangs in the facility today. And I owe Jim a lot because he showed me the ropes of how to be a medical director and really inspired me to get additional training and then teach others to become medical directors and learn the tools and the tricks needed for the role. So, do you know the duties of your medical director? Many medical directors, and I've talked to many, many medical directors, they just assume that it is their job to just take care of the medical needs of the residents in their facility, whether they're residents under their own care, or maybe they might be the residents under the care of another physician. Medical directors on a whole think that that's my job. I just take care of the medical care of the residents because we're doctors and that's what we do as doctors. But we all know that the roles of the medical director go well beyond just clinical duties. More very there's a many more important duties that the medical director needs to do. It's very important. I know it's challenging in some areas for facilities to find medical directors. I practiced in areas where there was physician shortages, and usually long-term care is hit the hardest, one of the hardest hit areas in medicine with physician shortages. So sometimes I know facilities hire individuals as medical directors that do not understand their roles and more importantly, probably don't want to understand their roles. So you have to ask yourself, does my medical director know what their duties are? So the basic requirements to be a medical director, you have to have a valid license in the state where the nursing home is located, and the facility must determine how the medical director is going to fulfill their responsibilities. And it is the facility's job to ensure that the medical director fulfills their responsibilities. So if the medical director does not fulfill their responsibilities, it is the facility's job to make sure that those duties get fulfilled. This is according to federal regulations, or they boot the medical director and they hire someone else who can fulfill the duties. And it is also necessary that the medical director be knowledgeable about current standards of practice in caring for long-term care residents. It is not the same as outpatient medicine. It is different. The care of the long-term care resident is different. And the medical director must also understand how to oversee other practitioners in the building, whether that be a podiatrist, a nurse practitioner, a neuropsychologist. The medical director must understand how to oversee all of these other practitioners. So the medical director works closely with the director of nursing and the nursing home administrator. I see that as like a leadership triangle, that is, that they work together to make sure that the facility is functioning adequately. It's the foundation to provide the best quality of care in the facility. It's very unique, however, because the director of nursing and the nursing home administrator are typically employees of the building, while the medical director is not. The medical director is a contracted position with the facility. So I think that this can be challenging or can be to an advantage because it can either say like it's me against you because we're employed by, we don't have the same employer, or it can be an advantage because the medical director has that third party perspective that maybe the nursing home administrator and director of nursing don't have because they're employed by the facility. So I think about, in the job description, physician leadership, clinical leadership, ensuring that the quality of care is at its highest standard, and then education, information, and communication. The federal regulations are fairly simple. The medical director must have be implement res, must be have implementation of resident care policies, and then overall coordinate medical care, right? So it's pretty generalized. So this comes from CMS, and this is Guidance for Laws and Regulations, and this is Appendix PP, and you can download this. And the roles recommend, develop, and approve facility policies related to resident care, physical, mental, psychosocial well-being. So your medical director should be involved in all facility policies related to resident care. Organize services provided by other professionals as they relate to resident care. If you have a nurse practitioner who is employed by a psychiatric telehealth company, then your medical director needs to be aware of what is going on and provide input to that arrangement. And then, of course, the medical director needs to participate in the Quality Assessment and Assurance Committee and address coordination of medical care issues identified through that committee. They do have to sign that they participated in this committee. And I'm going to say I've heard that maybe the medical director says, just bring me the form and I'll sign it. Or they just, you know, maybe that happens for through other arrangements and the medical director doesn't participate. I'm going to say that this is really a detriment to the facilities. Your medical director should be present at these committee meetings to provide input, to be aware of what is going on, to have effective communication with the leadership team. So this is an example that I've seen many times during my time as medical director of many facilities. That the activities director seeks the medical director's approval of a list of residents who would like to have a glass of wine at a wine and cheese party. The medical director helps develop a policy about alcohol consumption activities. Now, I know that this is something that occurs. I have seen a wine and cheese party when alcohol is present in the facility. I've seen it go very well, and I have seen it go very poorly in several ways. So I think that it is really a good idea to get the medical director's input into how these activities should be conducted, especially if there's alcohol involved, and who should be consuming the alcohol. The medical director knows what medications the individual is on. Maybe something an individual shouldn't be getting alcohol. Maybe they can talk to other providers and get their input and who should be on the list. So this is an example of where you should bring your medical director in to provide input. Another example, the director of the medical records asked the medical director to speak to an attending physician about charts which have not been signed in 9 months. So you may have a physician like this in your facilities where the H&Ps, everything hasn't been signed, or they haven't been doing the regulatory visits, and no one knows how to approach this physician. Well, that is your medical director's job. That is part of their job duty. That is why they're being paid. So it is perfectly appropriate for the medical director of medical records to go to the medical director and say, can you please address this concern with this physician? Another one, the director of nursing asked the medical director to speak to an attending physician who's ordering increasing doses of warfarin, which is Coumadin, and the INR, ordering the INR to just be drawn monthly. So this is unsafe. And it is the medical director's job to address the concern with the physician. That is the job of the medical director. Another example, medical director of nursing asked the medical director to speak to a psychiatric nurse practitioner about their prescribing practices due to the high amounts of orders for antipsychotics given to residents with advanced dementia. So if you have a practitioner who is giving high levels of antipsychotic medications and there is a concern, whether it's the director of nursing or someone else, it is perfectly appropriate for those individuals to bring the concern to the medical director and let the medical director review charts and then speak to the provider about their prescribing practices and what is the standard of care for antipsychotics in long-term care facilities, especially with individuals with advanced dementia. It is important to speak up. Additional roles of the medical director ensure the appropriateness and quality of medical care, make sure that if we have residents who aren't getting appropriate nail care, that we have a podiatrist that comes in and addresses these concerns, assist in the development of educational programs. I've done this for facility staff and I find it very rewarding. I would encourage your medical director to put together some educational programs. I think it's great in order to facilitate that community feeling in the facility. So it gets people talking, gets people communicating, and then works with the clinical team to provide surveillance and develop policies to prevent potential infections. This is a very, very important role of the medical director. They should be brought in. They should be told about what infections are in the facility. If you have a lot of UTIs, what bacteria involved in the UTIs, these should be shared with the medical director. A few more examples, a new podiatrist starts providing care in the facility and asks the DON to obtain an order from the medical director that every resident receive nail care from the podiatrist to make the trip to the facility worth the time. So maybe appropriate, maybe not, that every individual in the facility receive nail care. I think it would be important for the medical director to sit down with the podiatrist and have a discussion about what type of consults are appropriate for individuals. Sliding scale, there are many residents in the facility with orders for sliding scale insulin, which isn't appropriate for diabetic management for residents. The medical director provides an educational session for all staff on appropriate treatment of diabetes and long-term care. Because long-term sliding scale insulin is not appropriate for treatment of diabetes, especially in the nursing home. So roles, we want to make sure our medical director cooperates with facility staff to establish policies for ensuring that the rights of individuals, residents, staff members, community members are respected. I recently talked to a group of medical directors in a kind of a town hall about treatment for opioid use disorder with medication, so initiating MOUD in the facility. And while many medical directors are dealing with how to treat residents with MOUD in their facilities, many of the residents are coming in already established on medications like buprenorphine for treatment of opioid use disorder. And it is the responsibility of the medical director to develop a policy to ensure that these residents with opioid use disorder receive the most appropriate care and that their rights are respected during their stay. That is something that your medical director should be doing. They should support and promote person-centered care, ensure that advanced directives are completed, end-of-life care is approached appropriately, and that provisions that enhance resident decision-making, choice regarding medical care options, use of the ombudsman, making sure that residents understand their rights to have the ombudsman come in on their case if needed, and then identify performance expectations, facilitate feedback to other physicians to continually give physicians feedback of what is going on in the facility, what infections are present in the facility, and make sure that the other healthcare practitioners understand what their duties are as far as federal regulations, completion of pulse forms, completion of regulatory visits, making sure that other providers are well aware of these requirements. So a few more examples, resident rights. So when would a medical director get involved in resident rights? So a resident frequently wears bikinis while walking through the halls of the facility. Another resident complains about seeing the resident in bikinis. So this is a resident right issue thing. Who has the right? Does the resident who wants to wear the bikini have the right to wear the bikini? Does the resident who doesn't want to see someone in bikinis have the right to say, you need to not wear a bikini in the hallway? So the medical director meets with the resident council to develop a policy around appropriate dress in the facility. And this is fantastic to get resident input into creating a policy that affects residents. That makes sense, right? So these are some things that the medical director should be doing. medical capacity. So we all think about, does a resident have the ability to make decisions regarding their medical care? Medical director helps develop a policy to ensure medical capacity is assessed and a form is completed, indicating this assessment on all new admissions, readmissions, and yearly on all long-term residents. Just wonderful to make sure that if you have a resident who is unable to make, you know, say they have a change in condition, to consult the medical capacity form and say, does this resident have medical capacity to make their decisions, or do we need to call a family member? So it's really important to keep those forms up to date to know if the resident can make their own medical decisions. I was listening to a podcast today about medical capacity, and it's really interesting. I think we don't take it very seriously, but there are only two times in an individual's life where someone's rights as a human being can be completely taken away. And one of those is if the individual goes to prison, and the other time is if somebody's medical capacity is taken away in a medical setting. So these things should be taken really seriously, and that's why the medical director should be involved in the policies to make sure that medical capacity is assessed appropriately. And then UTI treatment: an attending physician initiates antibiotic therapy for treatment of probable UTI in any resident who has a urinalysis that looks positive. The medical director speaks to the physician about appropriate diagnosis of UTI. So again, this is something that your medical director should be. Medical director should be one of the main antibiotic stewards in the facility. So really should be aware of antibiotic prescribing in the facility. More roles. And there's a lot. Medical directors have a big job. Discuss and intervene with the healthcare practitioner regarding medical care that is inconsistent with current standards of care. Yes, it is the medical director's role to address these issues if a provider is practicing medicine in a way that is inconsistent with current standards of care. Also, to develop systems to monitor the performance of healthcare practitioners, the medical director needs to talk to other providers and make sure that the communication, any ways of communicating with the individual. So if the facility has a phone number for a physician that does not work, meaning the facility tries to call this number to reach the physician and the physician never answers and never returns a call, that's inappropriate communication. So that the medical director then needs to address that with the attending physician and needs to say, we need to have a reliable way of communicating with you. And if we don't have that, you need to exit the building. That's appropriate because you need to be able to provide care for your residents. You're not going to be in the facility 24/7. So that is essential. And ensure other licensed practitioners who perform physician delegated tasks within the regular requirements and are within this scope of practice. So if there's a nurse practitioner who's coming in with a physician, it's a collaborative relationship, making sure that that nurse practitioner is splitting duties with the physician within the regulatory requirements as determined by state law. And your nursing home administrator, or if you are a nursing home administrator, you should be well aware of what these regulations are. So, you know, if you see an issue with what's going on and the medical director doesn't, then you can kind of tell the medical director and the medical director can intervene. More examples: an attending physician refuses to treat residents who test positive for COVID with any therapeutics other than ivermectin. I hope that this isn't happening anymore, but I think it was happening at some point. The medical director provides current treatment guidelines for COVID-19 infection to the attending physician. It's the medical director's job. Regulatory visits: an attending physician has the nurse practitioner who works for him complete all regulatory visits on long-term residents and every other admission history and physical. The medical director explains the current regulations to the physician. We should know only a physician can do admission history and physicals, and the nurse practitioner cannot. And then, you know, we all should know what our regulations are for regulatory visits and who conducts them and when. And I'll tell you what, that gym that I took at the beginning of the presentation, we were talking about regulatory visits, and he could recite the regulations verbatim. So I think it's important. We should be aware to make sure that we are following regulations. So what about infection control? And I said that it's very important. So what your medical director should be doing: monitoring all antibiotic use in the facility, which is antibiotic stewardship, monitoring all outbreaks, ensure policies are in place regarding appropriate precautions, like when we're using standard precautions, when we are using contact precautions, when we are using enhanced barrier precautions. The medical director should be talking to whoever's in charge of these, whether it's an infection preventionist or someone else. Medical director should be reviewing these policies and then monitoring off infections. I think that's one of my favorite parts of QAPI is when they bring out the all the infections in the facilities and we can see what bacteria has caused the infections and then what antibiotics is used. It's very, very, very valuable information. And it really will give you a trend. If you can see as a medical director, you can show your medical director, look, we have all of these E. coli urinary tract infections on hall A. We have 12 on that hall. We don't have any other in the other halls. Then your medical director can work with the infection preventionist or the director of nursing and really drill down on root cause analysis and then try to fix the problem. So that's their job. And we're going to be talking more about QAPI, like I said, in the next. I'm going to talk a little bit about survey, which is another one of my favorite times in the facility. So the medical director must part should participate in survey. They shouldn't be like MIA during survey. Shouldn't be like, okay, surveyors in the building, I'm not coming in. Your medical director needs to know when the surveyors walk in. Is it an annual survey? Is it a complaint survey? And they need to be able to be called in if needed. And the medical director must know their role. The surveyor asks, they must know their role in assisting facility staff with resident care policies. They must know their roles, responsibilities, and functions to which they receive support from facility management in doing these roles, and the process for providing feedback to physicians and other healthcare practitioners. So these are all the roles that we talked about. So the medical director must understand these during facilities. And the medical director also must understand the facility's scope of services, including the facility's capacity to care for complex residents, dialysis, peritoneal dialysis, a hospice or end-of-life care, respiratory support. If we have ventilators, IV medications, IV fluids, problematic behaviors, and then their participation or involvement in the facility assessment and QAA committee. So during survey, very simple tips. Communicate with your medical director that you need their input during survey. It is expected. You can't be afraid. You need to tell the medical director. You need to participate in survey when they come into the building. And then let the medical director know when the surveyors arrive. If the surveyors have clinical questions, reach out to your medical director for support and ask the medical director to come in and speak with the surveyors. They don't need to drop everything and run like it's an emergency, but you can organize a time where the medical director can come in and talk to the surveyors. Invite the medical director to be present during the survey process, especially the exit interview. It's very, very educational. It really will tell the medical director a lot about what you're facing, in the perhaps the plan of correction process. Ensure the medical director understands their duties. Maybe give them a checklist. Very simple. Explain how important it is to the facility. Let your medical director know. It's important to us that we succeed. This is our life. We know you have other things, but this is what we are focused on. And you are pivotal to our success. So please help us achieve success. And then create an environment of quality improvement where the medical director provides feedback and participates. Medical director should be encouraged to share what they feel is important in the facility and share the projects with surveyors. So my experience with survey, I've explained my direct observation of a wound I talked to the surveyors about how nursing communicated to me about the wound and how I communicated to nursing about the wound and what the follow-up process was. And that was great. Surveyors were very interested in hearing what I had to say. I explained the gradual dose reduction process for antipsychotics in a facility. And again, this is the role of the medical director. Explain the process of completing physician orders for life-sustaining treatment in a facility. A surveyor incorrectly thought that the process was not done in a way that it was. So I explained how the process was completed and then explained a QAPI project in the facility for opioid management, how we developed the QAPI project, how we were monitoring the QAPI project. So really, really important. I consulted ChatGPT just for fun to find out what ChatGPT thought about how to effectively engage medical director. And I'm not going to read all of these, but I think that it really sums up. I didn't really talk about data, but it's really important to provide your medical director with relevant data and metrics. Your medical director may not be aware of what's going on with your STAR status and previous citations for survey and all of these things, anything with data in the facility. So rehospitalization rates, falls. I think it's important to provide your medical director with data in order for them to provide input. Showcase best practices. I think it's really great if you have a medical director that's not engaged to maybe have if you have another facility, a sister facility that has a medical director that is engaged, and then the facility really was thriving due to that medical director engagement, to share that story with your medical director because you might improve their engagement. Again, regular updates. Respect their expertise and clinical knowledge. It is important if you have sometimes physicians feel like they're not really respected, I think, especially in this post-pandemic time. And then flexible participation options, if possible, attending meetings in person or virtually. I do think it's essential, though, that the medical director does come to QAPI on a regular basis. Provide resources. Really important to provide the medical director with resources that they need. AMDA has many great resources available for medical directors for training. And again, is a course available for training if your medical director is interested. Again, establish channels for feedback. And then demonstrate the impact on patient care. If you do a QAPI project with your medical director and you have improved outcomes, share it with your medical director so you can say, like, look, it worked. So really important. And we will continue on. I'll be talking about all things QAPI, which I'm sure is your favorite thing, in the next module.
Dr. Storm, thank you for joining us again this week. And look forward to seeing you back here again next week. And thank all of you for joining us and hope to see you again here soon, too.
If you would like to contact Dr. Jean Storm, you can reach her at jstorm@qualityinsights.org. You can check out our other interviews at qualityinsights.org/QIN/multimedia.